Some high school football teams are already getting ready for the upcoming season. Soon the stands will be full of cheering parents, students, even more rabid in support of their classmates on the field. In the best case scenario, the home team scores a win. Worst case scenario is not necessarily a loss, but rather the possibility that one of the student athletes may be seriously injured. And high on the list of concerns is that a student will suffer a concussion. The NCAA recently tightened its rules on identifying and treating concussions following a lawsuit. What about Nevada high schools? How do our high schools fare when it comes to keeping athletes safe? Well, we're going to talk about that, beginning with, by phone from Sparks, Red Raiders coach, Ernie Howren. Ernie Howren, welcome to the program.
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
How often do football players in your squad experience a concussion?
You know, it depends from year to year, but I would say we probably have about a one a year.
About one a year. Tell us about a recent incident when one of your players got a concussion. What caused the injury?
It just was a helmet-to-helmet contact. Unfortunately, you know, it does happen, and that happened to be that one time. It just happened to create a concussion at that time.
Yeah. From your experience, did you recognize it right away?
You know, just based on the kid's demeanor, you know, the way he's just kind of not quite himself, a little bit disoriented, you know, not answering questions quite as quickly. You know, I think you have a pretty good idea when that's going on.
Yeah. So in this particular case, how did you determine when the student was ready to return to the sport?
That particular student, as soon as it happened, we turned him over to the trainer. You know, we have a protocol that we have to follow that as soon as that happens, the trainer evaluates it, takes him out of practice, and then from there, they have to go to their primary doctor, which, you know, would have to give them clearance, which would probably be in about 2 weeks. Along with that primary doctor's clearance, also they have to take the concussion test again online.
Now, also with us is Jim Porter. He is the regional sports medicine coordinator for Select Medical. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You were involved with designing protocols for how concussions are handled throughout the Clark County school system. Take us through those protocols.
I'd be more than happy to. This is our 10th season starting using the protocol. In 2003, we presented to the district, we're a contractor that provides the athletic trainers to the schools, a protocol in which it is a multiple discipline approach. So rather than one person saying this person is completely clear and ready to go, we've designed a multiple level program to be as cautious as possible. So our protocol in Clark County School District is once the athlete is determined to have a concussion by the athletic trainer on the sideline, then they must be cleared by a medical doctor, i.e. an MD or doctor of osteopathic medicine, an athletic trainer, or a physical therapist. Then they have to pass the impact test, which is a cognitive test used very widely throughout the country. It's used by most of the professional organizations in football and hockey.
When you let me stop you there, but with this test, how does the test work?
It's a computer-based test, and it basically looks at the ability of the upper functions of the brain. So it looks at the ability to read, to remember, to, in essence, figure problems out. And it's done on a computer. It's based on a baseline testing or on normative values. At the current time, I think the impact database is approximately 10 million tests. So they base norm values on it if we don't have a baseline for that student. And that gives us an idea, at least part of the brain that is at least what we classify as normalized. And then once they've passed the impact test, then they must go through a six-step progression of activities to make sure that no symptoms return. And then at the end of that period of time, they return to practice or to competition. And then they're followed for an additional 10 days of observation by the athletic trainer on a daily basis to make sure we have no symptom return. And then we give them what is called a SCAT-3 test, which is designed to establish a new baseline score that can be used should they suffer another concussion during their career in high school.
Coach Howren talked a little bit about some of the symptoms, at least initially, the disorientation, kind of the taking a little longer than usual to process questions, things like that. What other symptoms are out there that can serve as warning signs?
That's always the issue. Mm-hmm. The classic symptom is unconsciousness. The biggest red flag currently that we know of is either retrograde or antrograde amnesia, which is ability to forget what happened, or they forget what you are dealing with at the time. That is a really serious symptom that shows up. But confusion, fatigue, emotional distress, there's a literally a list of 22 symptoms that can be reported by the athlete, and those symptoms can change. People forget that concussions are an evolving disease process, and the symptoms can change over the course of the disease process, so you must constantly be monitoring to see if they've changed. And that's the problem, is that a simple, yeah, he's okay on today, is probably not catching him, because symptoms do change. The other thing that people forget is that they believe that concussions occur immediately and the symptoms occur immediately. We now have documented incidences where the symptoms have taken as long as 22 minutes from the time of the injury to the first symptom appearance. So as a rule in Clark County School District, our athletic trainers are going to observe that athlete for up to 2 hours to make sure that they don't miss any symptoms that may be showing up. And even with the two-hour window, sometimes we don't, because there's many functions of the brain that we can't test. And so you have to constantly be looking, because the brain is a very evolved organ and it controls so many components of the body that we may miss some symptoms in the initial evaluation.
We are talking about concussions among athletes, specifically high school athletes in the state of Nevada, and we're talking about how Nevada high schools work to keep athletes safe. We are talking with Sparks Red Raiders coach Ernie Howren, and also with Jim Porter. He's regional sports medicine coordinator for Select Medical. If you've got questions about what Nevada high schools are doing to keep student athletes safe on the playing field, whatever that field might be, and how we are dealing with what we know now about concussions, about symptoms, and about managing concussions, call us at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also write to us at our web address, knprnews.org. Jim Porter, we know now more than ever how the brain works. What has been the biggest advance in how we identify or treat high school athletes with concussions?
Probably the use of standardized testing. In the past, when I played football, this was in the late 60s, you had to be unconscious for 5 minutes to be considered concussed. Mm-hmm. When I first came to the Clark County School District and started working as a contractor for them in 1998, we deemed that if you were out for more than a minute but recovered in less than 15 minutes, you probably were not concussed. You had your bell rung or dinged or
right,
whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We now know that's not the case. We know that now that probably only 10% of the concussions will present with unconsciousness or with amnesia. So that means 90% of the concussions that have occurred when I was playing ball in the late 90s were probably concussed that were missed. And that's unfortunate, because we set ourselves up for developing long-term brain injuries by having repeat concussions and putting somebody back to play long before they should have. In addition, the individual variability of the anatomy changes how the human body responds to forces on the head.
Is there a part of the brain that is particularly vulnerable to concussion?
At this point, no.
It's just kind of all around.
It's all, you know, you have to understand, a concussion is a transient disruption in the brain function. But people forget that the brain is encased in a very hard case that resists a lot of forces. But the brain is like spaghetti. So if you can imagine taking a bowling ball, hollowing it out, filling it with spaghetti and shaking it, that's what happens in a concussion. Mm-hmm. So simply a stretch of any of the axons, which is part of the nerve, can cause disruption in function. So the issue comes down, and this is always the challenge. As a matter of fact, July 19th, there was an article that just came out on helmet safety and whether or not they could even test for if a helmet would prevent concussions. Basically, the conclusion is no. Because we can't control what happens to that spaghetti inside that shell. Now, the reason for the football helmets and the face masks are to prevent skull fractures and facial injuries, not to prevent concussions. Because a simple shake of the brain, I've actually observed concussions in which there was the helmet, the head itself was not struck. I actually had a wrestler thrown off a wrestling mat, hit on the floor, and the force transmitted up the spine and the spinal cord, and it resulted in a concussion.
Hmm.
So it's not just a blow to the head that causes the problem. In addition, you have what are called cranial nerves, which are different than the spinal nerves, that innervate much of the face. So a blow to the chin can result in a concussion, or those same cranial nerves innervate part of the chest, and a blow to the solar plexus can also cause concussion.
Hmm. Now, Ernie Herrin, I should apologize because I've been saying Red Raiders, and it's actually Edward C. Reed High School, the Raiders of Edward C. Reed High School in Sparks. We talked with Jim Porter about how he thinks concussions should be prevented and managed. What do you do to encourage safety at Reed High School? Starting with purchasing and fitting equipment, how do you work to prevent concussions?
Well, one of the things that we have tried to do, I totally agree with the doctor that there's no helmet's going to prevent a concussion, but we're just trying to do everything we can to minimize that impact and make sure that the kid is as safely equipped as possible. So one of the things that we will do is we will have numerous companies' helmets in our stock so that kids, because everybody's head's a little bit different, so we have different companies that in sizes of each company so the kids can have the best fitting helmet possible.
You also train students to use safer tackling practices. In football, what is the safest way to tackle?
Well, number one, see what you hit. You know, don't lead with your head. And that's something that, you know, we preach in non-padded practices in spring, non-padded practices when we're just, you know, walking through technique during the summer. And then we will watch a video on helmet and concussion safety prior to our first padded practice, and we'll have a video on proper tackling technique. And, you know, we just preach, see what you hit over and over again.
Is it a difficult effort to get students to adhere to these safer practices? Do you sometimes see, especially with football, do you sometimes see, if you will, competitive spirit kind of trump safety?
Honestly, not at all. I think the kids really are so well informed about the safety issues and you know, the things that can possibly happen to you with concussions that I really feel like our kids really understand they need to be safe out there and they need to respect the game as far as how they tackle people and injuring themselves and somebody else.
The NCAA recently tightened its rules on identifying and treating concussions following a lawsuit on the subject, and we are talking about how Nevada high schools fare when it comes to identifying concussions among student athletes and to keeping athletes safe. We are talking with the Reed High School Raiders football coach, Ernie Herrin, joins us on the line from Sparks. And also with us is Jim Porter, Regional Sports Medicine Coordinator with Select Medical. If you've got a question for either of these gentlemen, please call 702-258-3552, 702-258-3552. Jim Porter is with us. He is the Regional Sports Medicine Coordinator with Select Medical. Also with us, Ernie Herrin, football coach at Edward C. Reed High School, who joins us on the line from Sparks. And if you've got questions about identifying concussions, preventing concussions, our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Jim Porter, we've kind of been focusing on football because it's a high-visibility sport, but you had told a story of a wrestler who actually didn't hit his head but nonetheless got a concussion. There are lots of other sports where there is a lot of physical contact and we don't have helmets in place for those sports. Are the sports without helmets at greater danger for concussion for the athletes playing them than for a sport like football?
Yes. Any sport can be involved. We see concussions in golf. We see concussions in tennis.
In golf?
Yes.
Wow.
Getting hit by a ball or a club. Not uncommon to have a ball or a club hit someone. We have them falling down. They can suffer concussion that way. We see concussions in cheerleading. We see concussions. I've yet to see a concussion in bowling at the present time, at least in the high school age population. But the number two sport in Clark County School District is women's soccer, and that's followed by wrestling, and number four is cheerleading. So we see it in all the sports, and we have to treat it the same in all sports. Now, the difference is because of the nature of football, putting someone back too soon before they've completely recovered is much higher risk. because it is a collision sport. It is not a contact sport. It is a collision sport. If you have someone playing golf or tennis, the possibility of them getting struck again is pretty remote. But if you're playing soccer or you're playing basketball, there's a possibility you could get struck again, or wrestling.
And cheerleading is, we've encountered stories that it can be a brutally painful pursuit.
Well, at the present time, it is number one catastrophic injury sport in high school. It exceeds football in catastrophic injuries. So, and it's because of the amount of gymnastics and stunting that has been brought into the sport. Most people view cheerleaders as people that rob the crowd, shake pom-poms, dance around. But it's become a very involved sport in which many of our cheerleaders in Clark County train year-round. They compete when they're not cheering on the sidelines. So it has become a competitive sport, even though Title IX does not call it a sport.
When you're diagnosing a concussion, how dependent are trainers and coaches on information from the player himself or herself?
It is important, but is not, at least in our situation in Clark County, it is not the only consideration, because the issue comes down is many players will try and hide a concussion from you. They will flat look you in the eye, and they'll lie to you about what you're asking them. So we use other ways to determine whether or not they're concussed. We use some simple mathematic and word association. In addition, we train our athletic trainers in Clark County how to ask questions appropriately. We never ask them if they have a headache. What we ask them for is, how does their head feel? Because they're thinking, if I tell them I have a headache, they're going to automatically assume I have a concussion. So you have to understand, depending on the study, some studies have shown that up to 50% of the people that have had concussions have lied to their healthcare provider that they don't have the symptoms.
You must have cringed watching some of the collisions in the World Cup recently.
Absolutely.
Because the World Cup has come under quite a bit of fire. International soccer has come under a lot of fire because of substitution rules and the fact that players seem to have a great deal more control over staying in the game. And as you say, if a lot of them are lying about their condition, a lot of players are going back into the game with pretty bad head injuries.
Absolutely. And here's the issue. Even in the championship game, there was two players that were allowed to play that have been diagnosed with concussions and should not have been allowed to play. But because of the nature of the level of sport, those medical providers did not feel enabled to take them out of the game, which they should have been. Now, fortunately, in the U.S., that would not happen, because we have laws in the state that say, if a medical provider says you have a concussion, you're out. Mm-hmm. Okay? We don't have that internationally. In addition, one of the issues that have come up in the lawsuits has been what is called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which has showed up in football players and boxers. But now we have an identified soccer player that had the same problem. And we would guess that in the near future, we're going to see many more soccer players step forward with the same kind of problem. So, yes, it is a problem, particularly in international competition, with diagnosing and removing a player with a concussion.
Hmm. Ernie Howren, with all of the reporting and the awareness of CTE and other long-term problems, I'm curious to know what you hear from parents these days when their child wants to play football, or you're trying to get kids into the team at Reed High School. What are parents saying to you? Are they a little more resistant now than they were, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
I wouldn't say they're more resistant. What I think I have seen, the biggest increase is parents buying top-of-the-line helmets. Every helmet that we have in our program is certified, but there are more expensive, fancier helmets out there. And I know that I've seen a huge increase in that every year of parents buying their own helmets for their kids.
So what do you hear from parents when one of your student athletes experiences a head injury? Do parents usually expect this sort of thing to happen from time to time, or does the concussion alarm them enough to think about pulling the student off the team?
I've seen both sides. I think the biggest concern is just, we don't want to go back too soon. And, fortunately, like Dr. Porter has already stated, I mean, those same laws that are down in Clark County are governing what's going on up here in Washoe County. And, there's definitely a process. Kids are not just able to get a doctor's note and come back and start playing that next week. There's definitely a time that we force kids to make sure that they're healthy before they step out on that field.
Now, Jim Porter, I mentioned in the intro that the NCAA is working on improving concussion protocols. How does what that sports body does to prevent concussions compare to what we're seeing in high schools here in Nevada? Are high schools ahead of the NCAA, or are they behind a bit?
It depends on the high school. Mm. I would say in Clark County and Washoe County and the state of Nevada, to be honest with you, is probably a little advanced, except in the area of officiating. I'm afraid, at least in the South, I'm not seeing the level of officials observing for the penalties that should be called. Now, granted, the officials are not totally responsible for what happens, but when they see it, they must call it, and they are an integral part of the safety process. So we have to make sure that our officials are aware of it and are looking for it, just the same as they look for offsides or pass interference or holding, whatever. It needs to be very on the front as when it comes to calling plays when they see a football player lowering his head and trying to, in essence, hurt his opponent by striking with a helmet. A helmet is a very good weapon. It is a very good weapon. And unfortunately, because of the media projecting big hits, as we have seen for years, all you have to do is go to the NFL channel and watch the highlights there. We have high school players trying to emulate that. And the problem that we run into is it's not so much varsity in Clark County School District. It's the JV and freshmen that have a higher percentage of concussions than our varsity. In Clark County, we know that about 7% of the concussions that occur in football occur at the JV and freshman level rather than the high school level.
What accounts for that?
Probably a number of factors. One, they're not as skilled. Number two, they're not as strong. Neck musculature plays a big part in controlling the brain movement with inside the skull. So weaker necks are going to result in more concussions. In addition, varsity football players are larger and more mature, and we know that the developing mind is much more susceptible to concussions. An adult over the age of 21 may recover in as little as 7 days from a concussion, where someone of age 14, we have studies that indicate it may take 3 to 10 weeks for a concussion to recover.
Ernie Howard, if you could add another layer of safety net to your sports program at Reed High School, what would it be?
Probably just more literature, more than anything else, just to kind of keep making the kids aware of what is going on. Again, I agree with what's been said already. I mean, I really feel like with the information that is out there, the coaches, the trainers, the administration, and parents have done such a great job of trying to make this game safer. And I feel like I don't know what else could be done. Maybe, like I said, maybe just a little bit more literature that, you know, people could read and be more informed about what is going on. But I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Ernie Howren is the coach of Edward C. Reed High School in Sparks, Nevada, football coach, and he joined us from Sparks. Dr. Jim Porter is regional sports medicine coordinator for Select Medical. And gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.